From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome to the Jack and Spike Show. Hey, did I miss anything yesterday? Anything fun happened while I was gone yesterday?
I'm glad you're laughing about this.
Anything exciting happened yesterday? So, if you're a regular listener of the show, you know that yesterday I had a little on-air incident, and not the kind that I normally get in trouble for. I had to leave the studio while I was doing my job. Now, you guys know this about me. I have done radio deathly ill from the COVID that Spike gave me.
Sorry.
I have, earlier in my radio career, I've been vomiting in between, like shut off the microphone and then throw up and then turn on the microphone again and be like, yeah, Donald Trump is weird. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I've done lots of different stuff like that. So, but yesterday I had a thing happen on air.
Jack Stein had a little bit of a medical emergency.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Nick.
And wait a minute. And to my defense, I was, when you watch maybe your best friend, yeah, just true. And we didn't know. It is true. When you got up and you had to walk out. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, no, I understand. Spike did a great job yesterday covering for the rest of the show. So basically, what happened is this: if I could just explain to everybody how this story went down. Nicholas, are you ready for a fun story?
Oh, I'm buckled in.
Of whimsy and danger, a little bit of sex appeal. So. I'm doing the show. Everything's going fine. Spike steps on my joke, whatever. And then we have to welcome Chuck into the show. He's going to be our guest for that hour. And right around, about 12:58-ish, I go, I feel a little dizzy. Feel a little not good. Feeling a little woo-woo-woo in my old brain. So I think to myself, well, that's okay because I can work through dizziness. No big deal.
Yeah, you work through a lot worse.
And then I basically teleport forward in time about 8 minutes. I don't remember bringing the show back on. I don't remember talking to Chuck. I don't remember what we talked about. I have no clue what we talked about. I don't even remember what was on the show sheet yesterday.
You gave Chuck your entire guitar collection.
Did I?
I don't know.
So all of a sudden I feel a huge, almost like my heart stops, if that makes, like old, like, and I go, ooh, that's unpleasant. And then it starts again. Okay. So
hard reboot.
Hard reboot. And it was a big cardiac, what's called a cardiac arrhythmia, where your heart beats a specific way. Now, Mickey's going to come on in a couple of you and talk to us about this from a medical perspective. But that's what happens. So I feel this massive, and then this, and then I go, ugh, right? So I feel like I just got punched in the chest.
Right.
Hard. Now, pause that in your mind for 2 seconds. On Thursday, I went to go donate blood at Bloodworks. And when I went there, they said, oh, Mr. Stein, your blood pressure is a little high today. I said, what is it? They said, it's 140 over 80. I went, okay. And they said, also, your hemoglobin is too high, so you can't donate today.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember. I didn't think much of that at the time.
I didn't think about it either, right? So then I have my appointment with my doctor on Friday. Mm-hmm. I see my doctor. I talk to him about it. He goes, I don't think that's a big deal. He goes, blood pressure fluctuates. You know, I know you got a family history of cardiac disease. He goes, I don't think it's anything to worry about. I go, okay, great. Thanks, doc. On Saturday, I watch a documentary about the making of Apocalypse Now. And I remembered the section from when Martin Sheen had a heart attack on the set of Apocalypse Now. And he says, yeah, it felt like I got punched in the chest. So I log all that information in my brain. And so at Monday, at whatever time, when that sensation happened, that cardiac arrhythmia, I go, I'm having a heart attack. So,
and that was at 1:16 yesterday afternoon.
I don't remember what time it was.
That will live in infamy.
All right.
And we were unaware of all this, the stuff that happened right before the top of the hour when you felt this.
I don't remember any of it.
We were unaware that you were going through anything.
I was in I felt like I was going to pass out. So
I had no clue.
My last waking memory is looking at Laura, and Laura's giving me the cheese face, which is like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And so then I think to myself, I have to leave. I have to get out of the studio because I don't want to pass out in the studio because that's bad radio because no one can see it.
Great television, but bad radio.
So then I go out into the newsroom. I am gripping my chest because it hurts. It's very unpleasant. And I look over and I see Diane Duthweiler minding her own business. And I think, I don't want to bug Diane with
this. She's on a deadline.
She's busy. Yeah.
Who could you bug?
I'm like, who can I bug about this? And so I walk over to my desk. I don't know why I started doing this, but I started packing up my things. I don't know why. There was no motivation behind it, but I was like, I got to pack up my things, obviously. And so I'm looking around and I see Slow Joe and he's texting. And I'm like, I'm not going to bug Joe. I'm not going to bug young Joe.
I can handle this.
So then I go into Brian Buckaloo's office because Brian is, he's the radio dad here. Mm-hmm. And I walk in and I say, Brian, can you call 911 for me? I think I might be having some heart problems. I think I might be having a heart attack. And he says, are you serious? Like thinking it was a bit. And then I said, Brian, as a heart attack, I am that serious. Hey, that's our show, everybody. And so Brian does rescue for the, different, he has snow rescue.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
He has
ski patrol.
Okay.
So Brian gets somebody to call 911, and then he sits down next to me, and he takes my pulse. He puts his thumb on my pulse, mm-hmm. and he's looking at his watch, and then he goes, what's 24 times 4? And I'm thinking, I am not in a place to do math right now, Brian.
It's 96, because I'm stable right now.
Right, so it's 96, and he goes, your BPMs is 96 beats per minute, which is high, right?
It's Jackrabbit being chased by a motorbike.
Right. So I go, okay. So my immediate thought is, I'm going to die in Brian's office.
And haunt this place.
I love this. And so the EMTs show up and the paramedics show up and they're asking me all these questions about, did you take any drugs or whatever? And I'm like, when?
How far back do we go? I'm glad you have a sense of humor, man.
And so I go, yeah, I used to be a vicious cocaine addict like 10 years ago. And I know the lining of my heart is much weaker because of that. I've been told that in the past. They hook me up to all the different electrodes and everything.
Right in Brian's office.
So if you can picture this, my boss is standing right in front of me. Mickey Gomez in the studio, by the way. My boss is right in front of me. His arms are crossed like I've done something bad. Okay.
That's his natural state. It's not you.
And I've got all these EMTs around me and they go, oh, what time is your show on? And I go, it's like noon to 3. And they go, oh, right now? You come on right before. And I go, John Curley. Yeah. And they go, yeah, John, we love
is
John
Curley.
Is he here right now? And I'm like, you guys, I am not well. And
oh,
so
man.
So here's the thing. They come in and they're all serious. The second I mention John Curley's name, all of a sudden
screw yourself.
Yeah. So
can we get our picture with John before we leave?
Exactly. So then they go, do you know Todd Herman? And I go, yeah, I know Todd. I like Todd. Todd and I, have known Todd for many, many, many years. And they go, yeah, doesn't he take that stuff before he works out? And I go, pre-workout? And they go, yeah, what kind of pre-workout does he use? I'm like, you guys, I need to go to the hospital.
This is about me.
I don't know what Todd's pre-workout regimen is. The man has guns that are the size of a 1968 VW bus. Take me to the hospital. So then they get the other EMTs to come in, and they have a cardiogram that they whip out, which is going to show the actual rhythm of my heart.
Yeah.
So they take my blood pressure again, and the one guy looks at the other guy, and he goes, it's like 166 over 110. And they all go, like, they all make that face.
Yeah, the cheese face.
And I'm looking around, and I'm going to go, is that bad? Can you guys please just take me to the hospital? And then they take my my pulse, and it's 110. Which, so for me, I go, I feel fine, and I hold out my hands, and they're basically like, earthquake, do you know what I mean?
So you're giving jazz hands.
And so, but they wait a couple minutes and then they do the cardiogram, which is where you get a printout of what your heart looks like.
Your rhythm.
And the lead EMT goes, he goes, brother, your heart muscles are really strong. That's the most consistent heartbeat I've seen doing this.
Good.
And then I say, oh, like Gattaca? Like that scene with Ethan Hawke? Like that? And then another EMT who wasn't there earlier says, so we got a positive on the history of cocaine use. And because I'm a consummate showman, I say, just note a clarification. It's technically referred to as blow. Thank you very much. And so they all start laughing. And I'm like, okay, great. Ba-da-ba-ba-da. Tip your waitress. Take me to the hospital now, please. And they say, after a couple of minutes, they go, listen, we could take you to the hospital. They're probably going to tell you the same thing. They said, you probably had a cardiac arrhythmia. and you had a panic response to it, which is why you thought you were having a heart attack.
Yeah.
So that's why I had to get off of the show yesterday. Yeah, because I literally thought I was going to pass out. Thankfully, Mickey Gomez is in the studio.
Who I want to say, first off, thank you, because when you just like, Spike, could you take over for a minute? And you walk out the door and we're like, what?
Yeah.
And we got through the segment. Oh, thank you, Laura. Thank you, Chuck Eckert, for being here yesterday. We leaned on Chuck a little bit.
Yeah.
And then Mickey came in for Cringer Bass, and we got through that. So thank you.
You're welcome.
But and before we go to Mickey, I'm glad that the paramedics were joking and laughing.
It's a sign that you weren't dying.
it's their soft way to tell you you're not going to die.
Right, yeah.
You're going to be okay.
Yeah, so, but the other thing I just wanted to point out about it was that at a certain point in time, like, you know, they all leave, they all take off or whatever, and I'm just sitting in Brian's office, and I say, I'm good to go. I can go back on air. So I was going to come back on by 2:00. And then Brian says, no, I want you just to sit here for a while. So I hung out with Brian for like an hour and we talked about his kids. So Mickey, you have experiences with this.
I do.
Can you want to break it down for the listeners out there so they know what arrhythmia is and all this?
So yeah. I suffer from a couple of things because I don't know if it's hereditary or genetic, all that stuff. But supraventricular tachycardia.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And then PACs, premature atrial contractions. I've had it all my life. And I just at random times can be sitting and then my heart will go 125 beats a minute.
Wow.
Like it'll just like that's what it feels like. And then I'm like, I got to run around. I got to do something. I got to walk. Or I hunker down. You know, and I do this. I'm like,
fight
kind of like, yeah. So basically I have to stay off stimulants. Because stimulants cause them. So drinking soda, antihistamines, anything like that. I've taken beta blockers. Now I just live with them because I want my soda. You know what I mean? I want to take an antihistamine when I'm, you know, experiencing allergies and things like that. So I've worn the heart monitors. I've learned about it. Mine come from the upper chamber of my heart, which isn't dangerous. If it's from the lower chamber, then that's a different story. You could actually have an ablation done to stop the SVTs from happening. But apparently I have so many that the procedure would be ineffective.
Do you think that now I talked to my doctor about this yesterday, but do you think that if people experience cardiac arrhythmia in all of its various and sundry forms, that's something to go talk to somebody
about?
You
absolutely have to go talk to somebody about it. You need to go to a cardiologist, wear a monitor, find out what kind of arrhythmias you're having, because you can pass a clot, you know, according to the doctors, and you can have a stroke.
Right. Yeah. And that was my other kind of mental fear was that, you know, because my dad died of a heart attack. My grandfather died of a heart attack.
Yeah.
My grandfather was actually one of the first people ever on the planet to have 6 bypasses done. 6.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. His heart was basically like mostly plastic by the time he died. You know what I mean?
It was like a robo heart.
It was like a
stents and all that.
It was basically like a Target bag that pumped blood through it. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't really much of a heart anymore.
Wow.
Oh,
but so my whole thought was, this is where we go to the hospital now because I want to live, right?
Right.
This was
and then, we want the same.
Right. And so the thing that I was reassured about, though, was that all the EMTs, the thing you know when it's bad is when EMTs don't have their hands in their pockets. But these guys and gals were they were so sweet and so kind.
Their body language.
Their body language was totally chill. So afterwards, Mickey, I go home and I call Billy Sunshine, who's going to be on in a couple of few. Mm-hmm. I tell Billy what happened, and he starts laughing at me.
Why?
Because Billy...
He's got a sick sense of humor.
So then later that night, I call my ex-wife, and I say, yeah, this thing happened at work today. I had
Tell her what you told me in the pre-show.
Oh wait, is that safe for air?
Yeah, I think so. Well, her response. Something happened at work today. She's like, "What'd you say?"
Yeah, exactly. So I said something happened at work today. She goes, "Well, what did you say?" And I go, "Okay,
not this time."
And I go, "Sarah, you know how I have like the cardiac, arrhythmia that happens every so often. It happened while I was on air." And she was like, "Again? Like it was my fault?"
Right. What did you do?
Can you get organized, please? Yeah, right. Right.
So I go to everybody for sympathy, and thankfully, you know, Kathy sent me a text message, and Brian checked in on me. So I had all these people check in on me.
Cardiac events are no joke. I mean, they can be scary. But here, do you know why they didn't take you to the hospital?
No, that's what I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah. So being married to a medical, I am by no means a professional here, but here's what I've been told before.
Yeah.
Listen, you're fine. Yeah. You got past it.
Yeah.
In other words, you survived.
Yeah.
So if they take you to the hospital, it's going to cost you thousands because they're going to hook you up and you're not going to have the event while you're in the ER, more than likely. So what you should do is just make the appointment and go see a cardiologist and wear the monitor for 30 days.
Okay.
Instead of going to the ER.
You had been checked out by professionals. They had given you an EKG. They had monitored your vitals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you had recovered from the incident to a degree where they felt you were no longer in critical danger.
Right.
They made the right call. I love that they were cavalier and kind of lighthearted with you a little bit.
Asking about John Curley,
well,
please.
Well, they don't know the relation. They don't know the history between you two. Well, that was a triggering moment.
Did they take a selfie? I mean, I'm just wondering.
No, but John, when you got here.
I think that because they were such great, you know, medical technicians, mm-hmm. I found out later from Brian Buckaloo and also from John Curley that all the EMTs, all the cops, all the paramedics, they listen to talk radio on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So in all likelihood, they were probably like, oh, we already know this guy. We already know history of drug abuse.
Oh, my
we
God.
Already,
yeah.
When I went, way to be transparent.
So when I went to the ER the last time, and I had to, prior to needing surgery, the woman comes in and she's like, oh, okay. Oh, your last name is Gomez. I know what Gomez. I was like, you do? She goes, yeah, there's this reporter on the radio station. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, her name is Mickey Gomez. Have you met her? Do you know her? Like, because she's got the same, that's a very uncommon last name. And then, of course, my wife is there going, that's her, dude.
That's, right.
that's her. And I'm like, don't say anything.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know. You know,
I will say this, though, Mickey, when I did go out to the desks and I didn't see you there, I was a little thankful because I thought that if I walked out into the newsroom and I saw
clutching my chest,
that it would have been like a DEFCON 4 moment for everybody.
Well, Mickey would have brought the troops.
Like Mickey would have totally been like, get this man an ambulance now, as opposed to what Brian did, which was, are you serious?
Get the cardiac monitor.
Get in there and talk.
Everybody stand back. Clear.
Mickey Gomez, thank you so much for coming back. I appreciate it. And remember to check with your doctor if you have a cardiac arrhythmia.
Seriously, brother. Follow up.
Well, I've got an appointment on Friday, so I appreciate it. Offering Mickey Gomez.
Fist bump.
There we go. Thank you, Mickey Gomez. Mr. Sunshine's coming on. Coincidentally, when I told Billy that my heart rate was like 110 over 160 or 168 over 110, he goes, that's what mine is all the time.
Oh, no.
We'll talk to Mr. Sunshine about Trump media soaring in the first day of public trading. The guy became a billionaire again overnight.
Again, yep.
Overnight, when we talk about it right after this. Yes, a man so bombastic that my own program director wants me to cut him from the show because he says ridiculous things and is a general nuisance and annoyance and adds nothing to the show. So dangerous, Brian Buckaloo said verbatim, get him off my radio station, I won't have it. Mr. Billy Sunshine, how are you, sir?
Let's see. My blood pressure is 154 over 73.
Ah, very good. Thank you.
I'm sure that introduction helped, too, Jack.
Thank you, Billy. So, Billy.
Brian, I'm here for you, Brian.
I know you are. We all appreciate you, Billy, despite the fact that my own program director is now begging me to not have you on anymore. So we figured we'd leave it up to an audience poll, 888-973-5476. Should this be Billy Sunshine's last day on the show? If it's the majority says yes, sorry, Billy, looks like you're out of another radio gig. What is that, 32?
Well, you know, this is not the first time that the owner of a radio station has decided people should call in and decide whether or not to keep me or not.
That's a true story. Yeah.
So,
former President Donald Trump, he sold Truth.
He's still the president. Stop it.
Thank you. Sorry about that, Billy. So he sold Truth Social, and there was also a merger, I believe, between or an acquisition.
Right. He still owns his Truth Social. He owns 60% of Truth Social.
Correct.
They merged with a already trading company on the New York Stock Exchange.
Right.
And went public yesterday, and the increase of value was 35% in one day.
Right.
The largest single day of wealth growth for Donald Trump in his storied financial career.
So I've read estimates that he made somewhere in the neighborhood of about $3 billion
in one day.
Yeah. So what I thought was so funny about this is at the same time when he was asked about the collateral that he was going to put up on his bond, we have this, Laura, this is a great answer from the former president.
What's your collateral for the bond?
Cash,
rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yes, cash, he says. Cash. What a gangster move that is. Just say, I'm paying it $175.
Tip down the sunglasses, cash.
All right.
Now let's talk about reality for a minute.
Okay.
Guess what Truth Social made last year?
Oh, I don't know.
Don't guess.
Okay.
They made about $23 million, and they lost $230 million.
Yeah. So
why does a stock go up that loses 10 times what it made?
It's artificially inflated. What do you think that this is some kind so you think that he got somebody else to buy stocks rather than loan him money? You think that was the idea?
Exactly right.
Wow.
You know, it's what's called a meme stock.
Okay.
A meme stock where people get excited about a story that has nothing to do with the true value of the underlying stock. This is what happened to AMC. And you remember GameStop?
Yeah. I remember GameStop. I didn't get on that train before it took off. People also do it with Nokia, Bed Bath & Beyond. I mean, they have basically... They pump and dump these stocks that are basically worth nothing.
For example, this stock, it trades under the Donald J. Trump, DJT.
Yeah.
You know what? There was a stock that recently, a few years ago, had that same appellation, and that was for one of his casinos. The investors in that stock lost every dime. Donald walked away with $1 billion.
So
that's what's going to happen here.
Okay.
Suckers.
So that's why I wanted to talk to you about this, Billy.
This up.
Because you trade. I mean, this is a lot of people don't know your vocation other than being a radio host who's fired from basically every radio station.
31
you've
so
ever,
far.
31 so far.
The votes are coming in now.
Billy understands markets, but we're not talking about casual markets. At one point in time, I called Billy and I said, "Hey, Billy, how's the markets doing today?" And he goes, "Oh, South Korea is doing great." And I said, "You can trade on other markets?" And he goes, "Yes, you can." So, Billy, my question to you is basically this. So when he says that I got $3 billion, is that accurate or is that...
No.
What
it's
do you think?
Paper. It's a paper amount at this moment.
So what do you think it's actually going to end up being over, I don't know, 6 months or a year or whatever?
Well, a year from now, the stock will be worth $3. Today, it's worth, you know, 50.
Okay.
If history bears out, yeah.
You know what's interesting? You know, there's a way to make a bet that a stock will go down. It's called shorting.
Yeah.
Right now, that stock is the single most expensive stock in the world to borrow to short. More people want to short this stock than any other stock that exists in the world.
What does that mean? Can you explain that to me stupid?
It means the thing is you have to borrow the stock. So the idea is you borrow stock today to sell it back at a lesser price to someone else later on. To borrow that stock, you have to pay 200 times what you would almost any other stock.
Wow.
To be able to short.
Yeah. Wow.
So the people in the know are saying, boy, this is going to be a bloodbath, a word Trump likes quite a bit. And the rest of those people, the fans, they're making money for today, but only if they sell today.
Spike. But this was a great day for the former president. Yesterday, I'm talking about. It was a great day. He had the court of New York lower his bond to 175 million from the 544 or 454,
yeah,
whatever it was. And he made $3 billion on the stock exchange. You got to admit, for a guy who's had a lot of bad press of late, he had a really, really, really good day.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give it to the
guy. Give it
guy.
To the guy when he's got it. But I think that...
Absolutely. Every time Trump wins, America loses.
Nah, it's not that. You know, it's funny. Somebody was gloating yesterday because I like to talk to folks who disagree with me because I tend to learn some things and sometimes I get to burn people. It's fun. And somebody said, you know what's going to happen with the 175? I said, well, he's, you know, like you said, Jack, he's got the cash to cover that.
Yeah.
And he had said a couple days prior what an injustice it was because to take all his money means he can't spend his own money on his own campaign. Well, now they've set him up.
Which he's never done.
Don't jump ahead in the story there, Goldilocks. If he doesn't now spend an enormous amount of his own money on this campaign, that's going to come back to haunt him because he bragged about that's how unfair it was. He can't spend his own money on his own campaign.
Well, this is a man who can't be bought. We all know this, right?
That's what he said.
This is a man who can't be bought and he can't be bribed, even though his son-in-law got a $2 billion loan from the Saudi royal government.
I didn't say Jared couldn't
but we can't really talk about that because that would be influence peddling, and influence peddling is bad.
Because the hearings and stuff.
Right, because that's what Joe Biden is being accused of.
And
if
family.
Joe Biden is being accused of it, quote unquote, credibly, and then Jared Kushner gets $2 billion from the Saudi government. And we know that. Wouldn't that mean that we have two presidential candidates who are potentially getting money
from
compromised in some way? Suspicious. Mr. Sunshine, Laura, what's the verdict about whether or not we keep or dump Billy?
It's almost tied.
Okay.
But text line is in favor. I'm all for chaos. Let him stay.
What? No!
Who wouldn't want Billy to bring his facts, all caps, and figures to your show? That is censorship.
No!
A day without Billy is like a day without sunshine.
Oh, I think Billy wrote that one himself. That's a really good line.
Yeah, Billy, are you texting in?
All right. Well, we're going to have to, every time you're on, Billy, we're going to have a poll as to whether or not you get fired that day. And then as soon as the numbers come
up.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Sunshine. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
People's guest. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, Brian just does not want Billy on. So it's going to be an interesting, because if he gets voted off the island, that's it.
That's people
He's
have spoken,
done,
man.
Right?
It's out of our hands.
And so that way, Billy won't be mad at me. And Brian can't be mad at me.
No.
Because I'm playing both sides,
sure.
Which means I win every time. Do you want to be closer to your kids? There's an opinion piece out there that we wanted to talk about yesterday, but I had a little bit of a heart issue, so I had to leave about how do you get closer to your kids? What kind of communication you want to have with your kids?
And this applies directly to my family. I need this advice.
Okay, we're going to talk about it when we get back right after this. We have a YouTube channel, Jack and Spike Show. You can go and you can subscribe to it, or we do digital exclusive content, and then also we take segments from the show we really like, and we post it up there. It's not the Cairo Radio YouTube channel. It's the Jack and Spike Show YouTube, and again, it's the only content that you'll see there. Yeah,
there you go.
It's amazing. All right, so you want to be closer to your adult kids? You got adult kids?
I got one. You know I do, man.
Well, maybe you're texting them too much. Hey, why don't you call me? Hey, what's going on? You got to start calling your kids. I'm distilling down a piece in the Washington Post talking about stop texting your kids and pick up the phone and call your kids to communicate with your kids when you want to talk to them. Because texting is so impersonal that it's awkward and weird is another way of putting it.
I couldn't agree with you more on the solution to this because we're going through this. We've got she's in her mid-30s now, you know, and part of who you are as an adult is a parent of a kid. And when you no longer, you know, help guide them, decide what they do on a daily basis.
Spike, you got helicopter dad syndrome, buddy.
Well,
you pay for your kids' phones?
I do.
You pay for your kids' what else? Who's its and what's its and doodads?
Yeah.
Look at this thing. What does it do? Up where they run.
For my youngest, we are still pretty involved in the day-to-day financial.
We're dealing with Spike's addiction here.
Yeah.
Spike, you're addicted to being a dad.
I'm a dadaholic.
Right, you're a dadaholic.
I totally am.
Because you pay for everything, Spike. I mean, what is the thing? Okay, Ryan's getting married. Who's paying for that?
Well, you're the father of the bride. That's not on me. That's a father of the bride thing. Okay. Come on, it's a father of the bride thing.
I wouldn't necessarily expect my dad to pay for things. That's partially because he's dad, but that's besides the point.
You're not a bride.
So you're paying for all the cell phones, right?
Yeah, and I've told you why. It's because and Ryan pays me back for that. Because it's 25
every time
when I remind her. Every time I remind her. It's only $25 a month for her to be on my plan. It's $140 for her to be on her own plan.
Yeah, independence is worth its weight in gold,
yeah,
right?
You're right.
So, and then your youngest Darby,
yeah,
they are also on your cell phone plan.
Yeah, but they're still in college, and I think that's fair to cover.
Have they ever had a job? Like a job?
Yes, absolutely.
What's the longest they kept that job?
It was a seasonal job. It was a summer job.
This is what I'm talking about.
A Halloween job, a Christmas job, that
Laura,
kind of thing.
Is Spike not a dadaholic? Does he have a problem not being a dad?
I feel like every other sentence from Spike is like, well, as a dad.
I'm full dad mode. Come on.
Okay, so.
It's who I am.
Because when I was over at your home, mm-hmm, I noticed that your eldest was deciding that she was entitled to some of your paper towels, some of your cleaning products.
Oh, you noticed that,
some of
you?
Your napkins.
That's why I shop at Costco.
And then I also saw that she was helping herself to some groceries. I'm just saying, this is someone who's my age. If I went over to my mom's house and was like, hey mom, here's my phone bill. Oh, are those wet naps? Can I just throw those in my satchel?
I'm grabbing a two rolls of paper towels, a six pack of toilet paper, two things of bleach wipes.
Yeah, exactly. It was like she was walking through, you know, like the preppers, you know, like preppers have just boxes and boxes of stuff.
Yeah.
Basically, she's walking through Spikes like it was a survival bunker, just being like, oh, yeah, I need this thing, and I'm going to get another paper towel roll, and
maybe a jar of pasta sauce. A
little pasta sauce.
Is that where it went? Dang, I knew, because I thought I had
okay, wait,
sauce.
Can I ask you a kind of really personal question?
Of course.
Is there a credit card for emergencies?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
No, they're not.
All right.
For the older one, there's not. There's one for the younger one.
See?
I knew it.
How could you? This is what I'm talking about, my friend. Like, what is this?
Can I say it's unused? I will tell you that. It's unused.
Okay.
Yeah, because you froze it in a block of ice.
That was your advice, which I loved. Do you really need it? Get an ice pick because it's in a solid 1-foot block of ice.
So what I'm saying is, man, is that I think that you have certain point in time, you got to let the birds out of the nest.
Yeah, I hear you.
Right?
And we did learn a little bit from our first to our second, because the first one, we really bubble wrapped the first one. The first one never fell down and scraped their knee.
Okay.
So we let the second one go a little further out, a little more leash, a little more lead.
Okay.
Let him fall. Let him experience misery and hardship and misfortune a couple times. So we learned a little bit between the first and second, but I think most parents are probably guilty of that.
So there's this thing that happens within a family unit. It's actually the most basic way to put it is there's a regression, or it's called role regression, where when we don't treat our parents like older parents, or when we ourselves or our parents don't treat their adult children like they're adults,
okay,
there is behaviors that emerge that are regressive behaviors.
Oh, so the child reverts to a younger version of themselves?
Exactly, but also mom and dad revert to a younger developmental stage in parenting.
Where we're hovering again?
Let me cut your steaks. Let me put your food in front of you. Oh, do you need another juice box? And you're like, Dad, it's a Miller High Life. Okay, honey, I'll get you another Miller High Life. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
you need a straw for that, babe?
Exactly. This is what happens with family units, and the way that you break that is by speaking to each other like adults. And as a parent, you have to make the decision to not want to baby your children in the same way that your children have to make the decision that they will not be babied by mom and dad. Laura, you know what I'm talking about.
The text line is weighing in. Emily on Camano Island says, don't shame Spike. Parents are forever. And 425 says, that's what caring parents do.
Oh, great. Now I'm the bad guy.
Thanks,
now
people.
Sounds like Spike's just trying to be a good dad. That's from Carl in Port Orchard.
Well, how am I the bad guy in this? I'm trying to help.
Because you brought the reality.
Sometimes
reality stinks.
I'm the bad person because I'm talking about healthy developmental roles, and everyone's like, I think Spike's addiction is totally fine. it's not.
Addiction to what? Loving his children.
There's a difference between loving.
Have you met them?
There's
lovable.
A difference between loving and enabling, and like
that's very, very true.
So what my mom will do every time I go to visit my mom, she basically does the thing where she's like, Like if we go out to lunch, she's like, oh, let me, blah, blah, blah. If she, you know what I mean? If I spill a little droplet of water on my lapel, she, oh, blah, 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 blah. She wants to do everything, right?
That was the best part of her life was taking care of you, man. Don't deny that.
I understand that, but I am a 36-year-old man. She does not need to get on her knees and tie my shoe.
This is true.
At the entrance to the Mexican food restaurant.
I can at least say I don't tie my kids' shoes anymore. Can I have broken that one at least?
Right, exactly.
And I will say that the truly unpleasant Mrs. O'Neill is much better at not doing these things.
Yes.
She really is. Melissa and the kids have very mature relationships where I still am the kind of the dad to the rescue.
Right. Super dad. And you got to kind of make the choice, I think, at a certain point in time to not stop loving, but kind of step back a little bit. No, Ryan, you can't take 40 of our paper towel rolls. You can have one this time.
Or maybe even buy your own damn paper towels.
Right, because Ryan was walking out of Spike's house like the Grinch after he stole the presents from Whoville. Huge bag over her shoulder. I'll come back for the rest later, Dad.
Do you Ryan know what comes mean? To my house like most people, responsible people go to a grocery store with their own bags.
Right, exactly.
To fill
her
and
own
home.
Bags.
Yeah, the big Costco bags.
So that she can come get stuff from Spike's survival bunker.
It's the best part of my weekend, man. Come on. You're killing me, Spike. You're killing me.
The lottery is now reached $2 billion. I'll tell you why you don't want it. Florida is the latest to restrict social media for kids. Actually, this law is a good law. It is a good law from Ron DeSantis.
Yep,
and I don't think that people fully understand why this is a good law. Senators say Mark Zuckerberg is slow walking child safety inquiries. That's probably true because he doesn't want to get sued. And Spike is a native Baltimorean.
Baltimorean, or as we say, Baltimorean.
And he knows all about what happened to the Key Bridge.
Key Bridge collapse,
You broke it down for us earlier. We'll talk about it again when we get back right after this.